Hello and welcome to Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. I always love being back here on Monday, but I'm really happy to be back here on this Monday. Second hour, Trent Horn will be here. We'll do tips for defending the faith, and that has nothing to do with why I'm happy to be here. What I'm really happy about is everybody always wants us to talk about politics. Why don't you on Catholic Answers Dinner? Okay, well, we're going to do it today. Dr. Chad Pecknold is here with us. He's the professor of historical and systematic theology at the Catholic University of America. He wrote a book on Christianity and politics, and he teaches an online course that you can take. Right now, it's called Catholic Political Thought. He did the 101 version, the first 1,000 years of Catholic Political Thought. And now he's just about to start the 102 version, Modernity and the Common Good. Dr. Chad Pecknold, thanks very much for being here with us.
Thanks for having me, Cy. It's great to be here to talk about this.
I'm just so happy that you're here. And I hope lots of people will call because, all right, you always ask us, talk a little bit about politics. What am I supposed to think as a Catholic? How am I supposed to act as a Catholic in the political sphere? Well, today's your day. 888-318-7884. 888-318-7884. And I'll just start maybe at the most basic level. What is the Catholic supposed to expect of government? What are we looking for in government and politics?
Well, I think you know, there's a Catholic and a Protestant answer to that, and the Catholic answer is order and justice. The Protestant answer is that government can do nothing but restrain and punish sin. The world's a fallen place, but the Catholic has a more positive view of governance because we understand that we're made in God's image and likeness, and God is the supreme governor of all things. And we're made with that same political tendency. Aristotle tells us we're political by nature, and so we're made to order things for the good.
Did you happen to read David French's piece in the New York Times this weekend on Christians and politics?
Yeah.
Did you?
Yeah, I think that, I skimmed it, but as I do sometimes with David French's stuff, it's all.
It might be best for your mental health.
It's the same piece over and over again from David, which is that liberalism is the best we can do.
Yeah.
In a fallen world, and we really can't expect anything other than personal, you know, faith and personal conversion, and that, you know, governance isn't going to conform to the Christian order of things.
Well, what I was interested in is because what he quotes that famous quote from Madison, if men were angels, I'll have to paraphrase it because I can't do Madison, but if men were angels, there'd be no need for government.
Yeah.
That is a completely Protestant view of government. That is not
totally
the Catholic view at all. Catholics should know that is not what we think about government.
Well, it's been thrilling to, you know, teach Christianity and politics over millennia, because you see that Catholics have always been involved in building up structures of governance which are good for people. Now, now, does every structure of governance produce heaven? No structure of governance on earth will produce heaven.
Right.
The Catholic is not utopian about what human beings can create and the orders that they can support. They're not utopian about that, but they do believe what they were taught by Jesus himself in his prayer, which is to do thy will on earth as it is in heaven. And that includes how we make laws, how we govern ourselves as a people. And that cuts across many different political forms, as Pope St. John Paul II said. This is not just about, you know, preferring monarchy or preferring one particular constitutional order. This is about how Catholics think about order itself as a reflection of God's plan for the universe.
888-318-7884 is the number. Hey, well, you don't have to be Catholic to call. If this interests you, if you're interested in how a Christian should think about politics, you're very welcome to call. 888-318-7884. You mentioned two things at the beginning, order and, now I've forgotten the second
justice.
One. Order and justice. These are the goods that we should want from our government. So, for example, one idea about order might be, well, the traffic laws. and it's probably not a matter of justice whether the speed limit in my neighborhood is 30 or 35, you know, or whatever, but it is important that we have a government that can provide that kind of order. It is a matter of justice if the government is saying, well, for example, money should be spent to change the bodies of children because they believe they're a different sex. So how are we supposed to address these ideas of order and justice? What am I supposed to do as a Catholic citizen to make sure that order and justice are being provided by the government?
I mean, I'll even push back on your dismissal of speed laws. I mean, we all break speed laws. There's no secret about that.
I mean, maybe not, but
everybody else breaks. but speed laws, I often use this in teaching students what the natural law is and how positive law actually just should conform and does conform very frequently to the natural law. And the natural law is what is just. So you take your Suzuki Jeep, this is dating me a bit, but you take your Suzuki Jeep around a really tight corner at 50 miles an hour. That Suzuki Jeep is going to flip over.
Right.
Right?
Yes.
And that's just a matter of physics. And the law that says you can only take this corner at 25 miles an hour is actually making a positive law, inscribing it in a way which is cognizant, which is aware of, even if it doesn't even know the natural law.
Yeah.
Cognitively, it's just naturally following the natural law. So we have many positive laws like this in which the lawmaker is not like thinking, I'm aligning things with the natural law, but they are just doing it. And many of our positive laws are like that. They're just following what is right and just because they're trying to take care of the safety of the citizens. You know, they're trying to take care of the common weal. And a lot of our laws are like that. But you give an example of laws which say that we have to recognize a man who claims to be a woman. Right. And here's a law which is positively against the natural law. Right. It's patently unjust if you just examine the rationale. If you examine the rationale of the speed law with the Suzuki flipping over, it's patently rational why we have that law.
Yes.
If you look at a law like Obergefell, it's patently irrational the moment that you pay attention to what the law is saying about human nature.
888-3187-884. I'm actually glad that I misspoke about the traffic law then, because your explanation of it makes it clearer to me what law is supposed to be, that by being orderly, it does connect us to justice.
Exactly. It's like layers of conformity. When the positive law is conforming to the natural law, which is an ordinance of reason for the common good, as St. Thomas teaches, it's also automatically in concord with the eternal law and thus not in conflict with the divine law that's revealed by Jesus himself.
So there's a growing kind of a question, I guess, in the mind of many Christian people, including many Catholic people, about whether you can have just and orderly governance that's not explicitly Christian. What does the church have to say about that?
I mean, in this course that we're doing, the ICC course for Catholic Political Thought 102, we're going to read many of the popes on just this question and the various Pian popes, various Pope Piuses, and of course Leo, are all of one mind on this. You can't just have some natural law regime, some neutral state. Oh. The state is going to have a religion. It's going to be at least cognizant of religion. And when we see the White House lit up rainbow, we're seeing almost like a principle of natural law at play, that a state will simply prefer a religio in the classic sense, a religion. Yeah. It will prefer one over others. And I think this has raised the question of liberalism itself as a kind of neutral framework. Can you have a religiously neutral framework for a society? And it's not only the Catholic tradition, but also the classical tradition, which is aware that you can't.
We're talking with Dr. Chad Pechnold. You're very welcome to get involved in the conversation, 888-318-7884. We're talking about Christianity and politics. It'll get heated here in the United States over the course of the next year. It's best to have these conversations before it gets too heated. It'll help mm-hmm. when things get heated. But if you're bringing heat, if you're bringing light, whatever you're bringing, you're welcome here, 888-318-7884. Before I go to a break, will you tell people how they can take this course? It's at the Institute of Catholic Culture. And it's called Catholic Political Thought 102, Modernity and the Common Good. How can they take this course, and how much will it cost, and how many people will you allow in?
Oh, it is incredible. It's so easy to go to instituteofcatholicculture.org and register for free. It's totally free to register, and the Institute for Catholic Culture does an incredible job with all their courses, just extremely high quality. We just rounded up the last 1,000 years for Catholic Political Thought 101, and you don't have to have done that to do this modernity course. But it's also free, and we had 2,500 participants, 2,500 students from all over the world. For this last course, it was incredible, and it gave perspective, because we in the United States constantly are referring to ourselves, we're the most narcissistic country on earth, and we think that all politics revolves around ourselves, and in some respects it does, but it was very helpful to have students, to hear from other students, not just to hear from the teacher, but to read the texts over a millennia, and to also hear from your fellow students who are in different countries who are facing different problems. And so really, really a fascinating dynamic in the course is that you're not just getting me and the text I select, but you're getting 2,500 students, or who knows how many people will register for this one, but because it's not limited. But it is limited in time, because the registration closes on the 13th.
Okay, so we got you in time, though. We got you in time that people can sign up. And I hope people will, because it is... How should I say this? I do sense among some of us Christians, actually among everybody, a kind of almost panic about politics now.
Totally.
Like, good Lord, what do we do? It seems like every election, everything's on the line, and it's always apocalypse at 100%. It seems to me that some reflection on who we are as Christian people, what we've thought about politics before, will give us some guidance for the future.
Yeah, and I think there's a lot of reasons for despair. There's a lot of reasons for political despair. But I think the Catholic in the world, whatever they're doing, whatever state of life, has to be a beacon of temporal hope as well as eternal hope. We have to be... in the public square, we have to be in our families saying what right order is, because if you don't know what right order is and you can't state what it is, then it'll be very difficult for you to understand what wrong order is.
Dr. Chad Pechnold is our guest. We do have to take a quick break. There are folks on the line. We're talking politics and Christianity. It is the subject of the hour, of the week, of the month, of this decade. 888-318-7884.
Catholic Answers Live. Underwriting for Catholic Answers Live is provided by Real Estate for Life. Real Estate for Life connects homebuyers and sellers to real estate agents while supporting pro-life organizations. On the web at realestateforlife.org.
One of the reasons we should go to Mass is because, if you look in the Catechism, you will see the fruits of Holy Communion. And these are remarkable things that we can receive at every Mass that we attend. We encounter the risen Lord, and He shares something of His divine life and love with us.
The Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, live from the EWTN Chapel, every morning, 8 Eastern, on EWTN Radio and Television.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. I am Cy Kellett, your host. I'm so glad we often do this. I don't know why we do this with the Institute for Catholic Culture courses, which are just great. I mean, I just am such an admirer. We always have the professor on like 2 days before the class registration closes. So sorry about that, but sign up. This is a great opportunity. Catholic Political Thought 102, Modernity and the Common Good. Our guest, Dr. Chad Pecknold, is the instructor of the course. You can get it at instituteofcatholicculture.net or just type in Institute of Catholic Culture and let Google take you there, and you will get there. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. So, I mean, because this is what you teach, this is what you write about, do people like kind of pressure you to answer the question of the moment, which is which candidate, which party? We have a lot of people who are experts, that you can't be in this party or that party. I mean, and people will just tell us, you can't be a Republican because immigration. You can't be a Democrat because of abortion or whatnot. Do you get those questions, and how do you deal with them? How do you kind of fend for yourself when you're faced with that?
You know, I used to get those questions a lot more, Cy. That was a very common question for a long time. But I think we're at a particular inflection point in our country in which we have, I think most Americans are very fraught about politics. They don't, yeah. they're not certain that all the certainties that they had are being questioned.
Right.
And so I think I hear those kinds of questions far, far less. I think there's a kind of disorientation, a political disorientation that's going on right now, a kind of sorting and separating. And it causes people a lot of anxiety. And they're looking for, they know that things are bad. Everybody knows that things are bad. Mm-hmm. And they know that things are failing badly. There's no one who doesn't know this. And so the question is you tend to get more special pleading for this or that view in terms of how could we get out of this mess? And so you'll get special pleading for this way out of the mess or that way out of the mess. That's the kind of question I get more often now.
That's a very interesting formulation, because I think I'm very sympathetic to that. The primary question is, we're in trouble. How do we get out of this trouble?
Totally.
Not about party or anything, just like what is the direction out of this? We got every single line full. Are we okay if we go to phones?
Good.
All right.
For me.
Dr. Chad Pecknold, our guest. Let's go to Caleb in Lincoln, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. Caleb, we're glad you're here. Go ahead with your question.
So it's become increasingly clear to me that democracy has been a failed experiment. But when I indicate to people that I'm kind of an authoritarian, it kind of freaks them out a bit. So I'm wondering, what's the best way to soften the blow to people that we should return to more traditional forms of government, like monarchy, that the church has approved of and promoted over the last couple centuries?
Yeah, I mean, I think I sympathize. Liberal democracy is actually very authoritarian. You look at the vax mandates, those were very authoritarian. And so, you know, the reaction to authoritarianism on the side of the liberal is often gaslighting, because they're often quite fine with authoritarianism. and so there's that problem of how do you deal with people who are actually themselves more sympathetic to authoritarianism than they will admit. It's just not your authoritarianism. And so we have a kind of thrust. Thrasymachus is this character in the Symposium and in the Politics that Plato talks about, who says might makes right, basically. And we kind of have this dynamic of everybody tends to think that might makes right, and this is part of the problem of our modern political disorder. And the question of monarchy is certainly approved in the church's tradition. How to make monarchy more appealing. I think one way is to talk about how monarchy itself is something which arises from with the consent of the people, that the people can choose a king. And once the people choose a king, then they choose a king who is wise and who has the interests of the common good and who they trust, and that you can actually choose to give power to a ruler who is going to use it well. And so I think you can begin to shift the conversation from political forms to questions of how do human beings in political communities regard power? Do we regard power as this horrible thing that no one should ever, you know, wield because it's just going to corrupt them absolutely? I think that's the Protestant view of power, that power is just so utterly corrosive and corruptive. Or are we going to think about power in such a way that we actually want to set up a structure in which power is ordered to making virtue easier, making it easier for families? I'm often tempted to turn to Hungary, where power is being used very benevolently to help family formation. We're having this whole conversation in America about college debt. Well, the Hungarians say, we'll forgive part of your college debt every time you have a baby. You have a baby, we'll forgive a portion of your college debt. Now, that's using power in order to make it easier for families to form, which thus returns to the good order of the country. Now, that's using power in such a way that you don't feel that it's being misused. And authoritarianism is always this idea that the power is going to be misused. I think you can't let that be the enemy of the good. You can't let some misuse of something mean that you never use power to order things to good. So now we have senators who are currently working on bans on pornography. That's a good use of power.
Yeah.
And we should think that power is a good. It's a good that God has given us, and that we're actually accountable to God for our use of power. That's a far more Catholic way of thinking about power. Not that power is always bad, so it's always authoritarian, and we should always refuse it. If I say Catholics should seize power, everyone freaks out, just like the caller says. But in a sense, that is what Catholics should do. Catholics should wield power in a way which reflects divine governance and governs in the way that the goodness of God would govern, which is always going to be for our good.
The number is 888-318-7884. If I may just follow up very briefly on Caleb's question, because he contrasted democracy and monarchy. Yeah. As someone who thinks about this and has thought about this for decades, is there any possibility that there are forms of government that have not been named or invented yet, and that maybe the future is not about picking from something that exists now, but actually being creative about creating new forms of ways to govern ourselves?
I mean, yeah, that's a great question. I mean, on some level, the forms are sort of set, and this has been set since Plato: the few, the one, and the many. You're going to have monarchy, and you're going to have aristocracy, and you're going to have polity. Now, the illness of all of those is the opposite. So the illness of monarchy is tyranny. The illness of aristocracy is oligarchy. Corporate, woke corporate culture is totally oligarchical.
Right.
What's the illness of polity for Plato? Democracy. And so, but our founders did not set out to form a democracy. They formed a republic. Now, that was a form. Republicanism is a form. Now, you could begin to talk about whether there's many different kinds of republicanism. That's absolutely true. And then you could say, are there creative ways in which we could rethink our republic? And I think that's absolutely true.
Oh, okay. Helpful again.
So at the formal level, you're not going to change things very much about the one, the few, and the many. And about what good order and the illness afflicting it is, that's going to be fairly static throughout time because it's just true. What you're going to have is, innovation. Political innovation is possible within those forms. and thinking about what could we do to renew America? What could we do? Would it be different if we began to remember the way in which the Spanish and French crowns brought missionaries into this country and named cities after saints? Would that change how we narrate ourselves as a country? Right there, you're already talking about rethinking, providing a different vision for your country without sort of revolution, without destroying things.
888-318-7884 is our number. Dr. Chad Pechnold is our guest. I will get back to the phones as we come back. There is one line, I think about probably two lines open as we head into the break. I do want to suggest that you check out you can check out this particular course that is about to begin. The registration will close at the end of this week, Catholic Political Thought 102. But check out all the stuff they do at the Institute of Catholic Culture. It really is a magnificent undertaking, one that we have always tried to be supportive of and helpful to wherever we could here at Catholic Answers. Check it out, instituteofcatholicculture.net. We'll be right back with more on Christianity and politics. Are you ready to defend your faith in a world of unbelief? Join us at the 9th Annual Catholic Answers Apologetics Conference. This year's theme, I Believe in God, and it'll help you provide clear and charitable answers to atheism, agnosticism, and plain old indifference. Don't miss what promises to be the event of the season. Join us in San Diego from September 21st through 24th as we welcome our special guest, Dr. Scott Hahn, and an all-star lineup of great Catholic speakers. Spend quality time with your favorite Catholic Answers apologists and enjoy 4 days of fun, fellowship, and adoration of the Almighty. Seats are still available, but they're going fast. Visit CatholicAnswersConference.com or call 888-291-8000 to register. Enter promo code EARLY and save $50. That's CatholicAnswersConference.com.
Want to know more about the origins of the Catholic Church? Joe Heschmeyer explores the beginnings of Christianity in The Early Church Was the Catholic Church. Joe digs deep into the words and actions of those who lived right after the apostles to refute anti-Catholic claims of how the faith was lived back then. Order your copy of The Early Church Was the Catholic Church today at shop.catholic.com or get it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
What if the voice of your deepest doubts about Catholicism rose up in the form of a human being and challenged you to defend your most foundational beliefs? That's the task apologist Trent Horn took upon himself in his new book, Devil's Advocate, a dialogue with his own best objections against the faith that he professes and defends. You can stand up against your doubts, and Trent will show you how. Pick up your copy of Devil's Advocate today at shop.catholic.com or at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Do you have an important prayer need?
We'll pray with you tomorrow on Take Two with Jerry and Debbie.
On most of these EWTN stations.
And now back to Catholic Answers Live with Cy Kellett.
Welcome back, Catholic Answers Live. I'm Cy Kellett, your host. Dr. Chad Pechnold is our guest. We're talking about Christianity and politics. You asked for it, you got it, and you're very welcome to call 888-318-7884. Before I go to the next caller, I do want to welcome some folks who have signed up for our pilgrimage in November to Rome. We've got the big flannel panel pilgrimage coming up to Rome. Chris Check will go. I'm going to go. Joe Heschmeyer's going to go. We'll do the radio show there. We'll have lots of great talks. And we'll just spend 8 days in the historic center of Rome exploring and seeing churches that you won't see on your usual tour, and also doing the things that that you got to do when you get there, like go visit the bones of St. Peter underneath the Vatican. I want to welcome Michael and Joyce, who just signed up, Justin and Sarah Ann Marie, also Robert, all of you. I'm looking forward to meeting you in Rome, if not before then. You can sign up by going to CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com, and tomorrow's the last day of the big early sign-up bonus, so $300 off anybody who signs up by tomorrow. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. Check it out. We'd love it if you'd come. CatholicAnswersPilgrimage.com. Again, lots and lots of people on the phones. So, Dr. Pecknold, I think I'll just continue to go back to the phones, if that's all right.
All right. I'll try to be brief so we can get a lot in.
Okay. We'll go to Patrick in New York City, listening on Facebook. Oh, we have a good friend, Patrick, in New York City, and I think that's who this is. Hi, Patrick. Welcome.
Hey. Hi, Si. Looking forward to seeing you in two months in San Diego.
Yeah, likewise. All right, go ahead with your question for Dr. Pecknold.
Yeah, and Professor Pecknold's a great follow on Twitter for everyone on Twitter. I keep reading about these labels, integralism and Christian nationalism, and I want to get a little definition of them from your point of view and some comment on how they relate to what we're talking about today.
Perfect. Yeah, those are terms which, you know, kind of weren't in the water a decade ago. And it's worth asking why they're in the water. Why are these terms in the water? And I think one of the reasons these terms are so powerfully evocative right now, and they call people to arms in all sorts of ways, is because they're a reaction to a very virulent kind of political religion, which is operative right now, which is progressivism. Progressivism is a very, very powerful political religion. And it has not only taken over our country, but it's taken over the world. And I think Christian nationalism and its kind of Catholic counterpart, integralism, are ways of saying, well, look, it's obvious that liberalism does not produce a neutral religious order. It can't be neutral about religion. And that's actually true. And so what arises from that is the conclusion, well, if liberalism can't actually manage a religiously neutral framework, now we're on 50 years of pride parades, but now they're de rigueur and they're sponsored by AT&T or whatever, you have a very pernicious kind of civic religion. You light up the White House rainbow, and the question naturally arises, well, if it's so obvious now that we have false religion reigning over our polity, couldn't we have true religion? So I think that's the reason why those terms have come to light. Secondly, distinguishing integralism and various kinds of integralism, I should add this. Integralism has become a disputed term in itself for a lot of reasons. And Christian nationalism is the Protestant side of that. I think one of the problems with Christian nationalism is that it actually goes back to the founding of liberalism itself, in which you will learn this in ICC. Catholic Political Thought 102, will learn about the early political liberalism and how early political liberalism actually was a Christian nationalism and working out a kind of modus vivendi for a Protestant Christian nationalism. And so my problem with Christian nationalism is not that it's bad to think Christianly about nations. It's good to think Christianly about nations and about governance, but that it's not a solution. It's not a way out of the progressive civic religion that we face now. And integralism may or may not, but it's, I think, a Catholic thought experiment around the very question of order.
What do you think, Patrick?
It's great. It's a start, and you've got me interested in taking the course.
Great.
Very good. It's easy to sign up, I know, because, you were just talking with Dr. Pecknold, I signed up, so I know you can do it. It's easy.
Awesome.
I got to take this course. So, all right. Well, on we go, Patrick. Thanks. Looking forward to seeing you in a few weeks here in San Diego. Tom in Omaha, Nebraska, listening on Spirit Catholic Radio. You are next, Tom. Go ahead with your question for Dr. Pecknold.
Thank you for taking my question, and I'll be as brief and clear as I can. And it's this. In the 1920s, 30s, 40s, 50s, particularly, and even later, up to right now today, there was, it seems to me, that the Catholic Church and the clergy, especially in the industrial East Coast areas, substituted centering on Christ and so on for unions and socialism and so on and so forth, and it's held on even to this day.
Mm-hmm.
And I wondered what you thought about that. Now, let me give you an example. The most Catholic states, New York, Massachusetts, Delaware, and the rest of them, are the least pro-life.
Yeah.
The most Protestant states, Deep South, Utah, and the Dakotas and so on, are the most pro-life. So that came from somewhere. And I think it was due to the fact that a lot of these priests and clergy and all that back in that era, they didn't have a whole, they weren't very deep.
All right. Dr. Pecknold, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, Rusty Reno once wrote a great piece on Ronner the Restorationist. And I love that piece because it's a way of showing how a certain kind of liberal Catholic lay or religious or priest came to understand that the Catholic idea of having harmony with the society got flipped so that the Catholic in America, especially, and Pope Leo XIII talks about this in his critique of Americanism, that the American Catholic was tempted to find symmetry, to find harmony with the society. And when the society chooses contraception, then we find harmony with that. When the society chooses abortion or gay marriage, you know, I heard after Obergefell, I heard a very prominent cardinal say, well, that's the law of the land now. That's, you know, there's a certain kind of American Catholic mentality which conforms itself to the society immediately, rather than to say, actually, you're going in the wrong direction. And the Catholic faith has wisdom, has light for you to tell you how to turn around, because you're going in a dangerous direction. I think that is what Leo warned about in 1899. He warned Catholics about that in his treatment on the heresy of Americanism, which is just this tendency to want harmony with a Protestant country that's going in the wrong direction.
Tom, thank you. I appreciate that question very, very much. Off we go to Kansas City, Missouri, watching on YouTube, Maya in Kansas City. Maya, thanks for waiting. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Dr. Chad Pecknold. Maya? Oh, hang on, Maya. Somebody pushed the wrong button. Don't know how that happened. Go ahead, Maya.
I'm a little bit confused because my understanding of this conversation moves more into the area of a theomony mindset. And my concern with that is the idea that that man is capable of living under a natural law or natural religion. The closest we ever got to that was after the founding fathers jumped in and said, you know, we're going to build this country based on commonalities, moral commonalities. We all believe in A, B, C, or D. That's about the closest to what you're talking about that I can think of as far as natural law or moral law. The whole idea of this, of what you're talking about, reminds me a great deal of the dominion theology. Okay, and I'm not sure if it's even biblical, the idea that we can put these two together and expect any kind of peace.
Okay.
I mean, right now what I'm looking at here are a bunch of people, a bunch of religions that have all agreed on a moral law, and now over the last 20, 30 years, everybody's gone in 20 different directions
I'm going to just let Dr. Pecknold respond, because it's a lot. And I think you've given us enough to get a good response from him.
Yeah, sure. So I don't think you can have a purely natural law regime. I don't think you can the Christian dispensation, I think, doesn't allow for that. Maybe in the classical world, obviously, you don't have divine revelation. But I think the witness of the popes is that natural law is not enough. It's not enough. People need the grace of God. And just as souls need the grace of God, it's foolish for Catholics to say that polities don't, because polities are creations of the human soul. So our polities do need grace. That's not dominionism. That's a particular Protestant sect. It goes back to the Christian nationalist question. I do think you're onto something, though, that when you say that everyone has just decided what their view of the moral law is, that's a very modern liberal problem, in which you think that the moral law is something that's conventional, that different groups can decide what the moral law is, rather than it's something which can be discerned by all according to reason.
Maya also said what you're saying sounded like dominionism. What is that, and how do you respond to that?
Yeah, dominionism is just a kind of earlier Christian nationalism before the debate around Christian nationalism. The Christian nationalists, Protestant Christian nationalists, will refer back to dominionism, and it's an earlier tradition of saying, you know, that America needs to be under the order of grace, and it needs to be under the dominion of God's grace. So there's, you know, a kind of strong Protestant tradition of saying that, but it differs from the Catholic view of order in a number of ways.
The number is 888-318-7884. Maya, thank you very much. I have to go to the break now. We'll come back and we'll take some more calls. We've got room for one or two more. I think we can get on with our guest, Dr. Chad Pecknold, after the break. We're talking about politics and Christianity. If you have questions in that regard, you're very welcome to call. 888-318-7884.
Let us help you with your question today on Catholic Answers Live.
Hi, this is Deacon Dennis Lambert from the Diocese of Phoenix. When we listen to Catholic radio, we receive encouragement, strength, and most importantly, we receive the truth. Simply put, we need Catholic radio because we are and we become that which we surround ourselves with. So I encourage you to tune in, inspire up, and to wrap yourselves in the warm arms of faith, life, and love.
The world needs EWTN Catholic Radio, now more than ever.
Who was the first Catholic in your family? Were they evangelized by a friend, a coworker, a stranger? Did you ever think that you could be that person that God uses to save a soul, and that soul could save their family, their grandchildren, and generations to come? At St. Paul Street Evangelization, a Catholic nonprofit, we train, equip, and mobilize Catholic disciples to do the urgent work of evangelization. Catholic Answers is supported in part by St. Paul Street Evangelization, streetevangelization.com.
Welcome back. Catholic Answers Live. I'm just so delighted to get to talk with Dr. Chad Pecknold about politics and Christianity, and the call's been wonderful, and you're welcome to call 888-318-7884. I want to tell you a little bit more about where you can find Dr. Pecknold. You can take that course that I just signed up for over at the Institute of Catholic Culture. Also, you have a Substack that people can check out?
We do. We have a group of Catholic professors, and I have a kind of online magazine called what is it called? It's called Post-Liberal Order. Post-Liberal Order, and it is cracking good. Tends to be long form, but sometimes just short pieces reflecting on our disorder as much as our order. We've got great pieces up from now a regular contributor, Professor Ed Fazer, who your listeners probably know.
Oh, yeah. Well, I just really enjoyed his most recent book on racism. He did a great book on racism.
Just terrific.
You also wrote a book called Politics and Christianity, which people can check out. And you have another book coming out on Augustine's Confessions. When will we see that?
Yeah, that'll be out next year with Scott Hahn's Press, Emmaus Books, called Fire on the Altar.
Okay, very good. Scott Hahn will be one of the featured speakers at the Catholic Answers Conference coming up. I'm turning this into an ad for us. Check it out at CatholicAnswersConference.com. Braden's in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, listening on Catholic Community Media. Braden, we're awful glad you're here. Go ahead with your question for our guest, Dr. Chad Pecknold.
Hi, Dr. Chad. I just discovered the show. It's amazing. My question is a bit broad, though, unfortunately. What would a foreign policy look like for a Catholic nation, specifically when to go to war?
Uh-huh. I mean, you know, this is when should a Catholic nation go to war? Well, I mean, I think Augustine sets the standard with only a defensive war would be just. So most of the Crusades, which would count, because those were defensive wars against the aggressors. So I think a Catholic nation wouldn't go to war to say secure oil. The Catholic nation wouldn't go to war to expand territory. It would defend its borders. It would defend the good of the families which constitute its own common political good. That's a general answer to a general question.
I want to see if that satisfied you, Braden. Does that make sense?
Yes, I suppose it was a bit broad. How would a Catholic nation's borders first be defined then? What is there to defend?
Well, I mean, that's a good question in itself. I've already brought up Hungary once, but Hungary spends triple the percentage of its GDP on family as it does on defense, on the rationale that if you're not building up the good of families, what do you have to defend? If you spend 2% on GDP, 2% of GDP on defense, which we do in this country, you should be spending 6% on family formation, building up families, because there needs to be some good that you're defending. You're not just defending land. That's a very abstract geographical idea. Your borders are there to protect from all comers and threats. Thomas Aquinas talks about this in the Summa, about how certainly Catholic countries can show hospitality to the stranger and should, but that for it should also be sensitive to threats. Those who would come into your country and threaten, and he is very clear, threaten your common religion, threaten your political common good, those should be kept out. And sometimes if they come with force, they have to be kept out with force. And so I think you have to begin thinking about, protecting your borders in light of what is the good that you're protecting as well, so that you don't just, a Catholic state shouldn't be in the business of war. It should be in the business of defending the good of the people.
Mm-hmm. Braden, it's a wonderful question. Darren, I think we need to do a whole hour on war. Hearing the question, it's such a good question, Braden, and I wish we could give more time to it now. But we'll make a note of it, and we'll have a show coming up on the Catholic view of war. And I have to keep going, Braden, because we have other callers on. Sue's in Cincinnati, Ohio, listening on 740 AM. Sue, thank you for your call. Go ahead with your question.
Hi, thank you for having me. Hi there.
Hi.
I'm a first-time ICC student.
Awesome.
I currently just finished the Catholic Political Thought 101 with Dr. Pecknold. Heard about it here on the local radio.
And how was it?
Fabulous. It was a terrific, comprehensive, but yet really, to the layman, it was like steak.
Sue, is your last name Pecknold by any chance, Sue?
No,
this is my wife, Sue Pecknold.
Really.
All right. I thought this might be your mom.
From Cincinnati.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right, Sue, go ahead.
It's a good ad, Sue. Thank you.
Human history and thought from the early Greeks and Roman philosophers to the ancient emperors and popes, and just the years and years of improvement over time in self-governing. And
yeah.
My question is, and I reflect back on the session on Pope, I think it's Galatius, is that how you say
yes.
it?
Yeah, Pope Galatius.
Where he referred to there are two. There are two powers. There's papal power, there's imperial power. And we have so muddied the proper jurisdiction there. How do we as a republic, which we've already got that part figured out, thank heavens, how do we go back and restore that proper jurisdiction? That's my question.
Well, I mean, the most potent example for me is, you know, in the witness of Archbishop Cordiglione with respect to Nancy Pelosi is a very good example of how the jurisdictions relate in a Catholic order, in which, you know, Archbishop Cordiglione wasn't telling Nancy Pelosi how to do her job. He was intervening to tell her that she can't do X. We won't talk about what X is, and be received at the altar, receive the Lord at the altar. And I think that that's a very good image for thinking about, you know, restoring the order is restoring the proper place of the spiritual authority to for needs of correcting sin, for rationis peccata, for reasons of correcting sin. The spiritual authority must be respected in its ability to intervene, to intercede in political matters. And I think that honoring Archbishop Cordiglione is one way in which we can restore our imagination for the right relationship between the orders. If Pelosi had responded rightly and received the rebuke, as, say, Emperor Theodosius received the rebuke of Bishop Ambrose, there you would be seeing the jurisdictions relate rightly.
Sue, I'm going to leave it there because there's still more folks and very little time left. Chad Hecknold is our guest. We're talking about Christianity and politics. Caleb in Illinois, listening on 92.5 FM. If you're quick, we'll get you an answer, but you're going to have to be quick.
I'll be as quick as I can. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, how do we weigh how much trust to place in the political process and government? And secondarily, how do we not let that, whatever level our activism is, how do we let that not usurp our faith and trust in God?
Well, nothing should usurp put your trust not in princes, put your trust in God. Nothing should usurp your faith in God. That, as St. Thomas More said, you know, king's servant and God's first. So always put God first. I think there's a lot of reasons. I mean, some political theorists talk about a legitimation crisis, the loss of trust. The loss of trust in our system is, I think, ubiquitous right now. I think the only answer to the loss of trust is to be the kind of person at whatever level God has called you to who speaks about creating an order in which we could trust one another, in which we could trust things. We have a societal breakdown, and the Catholic, I think, needs to have there's a paradoxical relationship. The Catholic needs to be able to speak the things which are true and which are good, and with a dual sense that the truths they speak will actually create better conditions for the society, but also that the truths that they speak will make them worthy martyrs if it comes to that. And so I think that takes a lot of courage to both not seek martyrdom, but to speak those truths which would be worthy of martyrdom, because the truths that you speak which are worthy of martyrdom, if they don't lead to martyrdom, they will actually lead to a better order. And so I think we have to proceed politically as Catholics that way.
Caleb, what a very good question. It does seem to me probably many, I know of many Catholics actually who are suffering all kinds of little martyrdoms in the family and at their workplace. Just because they say simple things like a boy is a boy and a girl is a girl, which is shocking to some people that you would say something. It really is. Like, there are people who have been distorted enough that they are shocked when you say something like that.
Yeah, and that's worth speaking up for.
It is.
How much more? how much more is it worth speaking up for the gospel?
Praise God. Dr. Chad Pecknold has been our guest, a wonderful guest, too. Thank you very much. I hope we'll have you back again soon.
I would love that on any topic.
It's very rare that we have a guest as good as you who does the entire show wearing Beats from Dre headphones.
These are my 7-year-old son's headphones.
Even better, they're Blue's Clues headphones. I thought that those were...
I'm pretty sure they're like Blue's Clues headphones, yeah.
All right, well, thanks very, very much. Check out Institute for Catholic Culture where you can take Dr. Pecknold's course, but the registration ends on the 13th, so register now. Coming up next, Trent Horn will be here. Tips for defending the faith. We'll be back to do that right after this on Catholic Answers Live.